Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo podcast. We are back in action, finally, in the Premier League. After a month of going through all the cup games and that horrendously boring 0-0 draw at Stamford Bridge on Friday, we head up to Anfield and face Liverpool, a place which isn't a happy stomping ground over the past few years and definitely is going to help by the fact that some German bloke has decided to say it is his last season in charge at Anfield. It's me and Tom this week, as usual, giving you everything you need to know about Chelsea Football Club's trip to Anfield and looking at us trying to close down what was, a few months ago, an unlikely European spot. Thomas, my friend, how are you? How was France?
Yeah, it was lovely, thanks. I ate lots of French food, drank lots of French beers, and now I'm back in England. It was a flying visit, I was only there for 2 days, but yeah, it was good.
When you say French beers, it's just like Stella. Or that Belgian?
No, that's Belgian. It was, you know, some Kronenbourg, 1664, that kind of stuff.
It's Kronenbourg French.
Their own ones. Yeah.
I swear it's just made in Burton. It's not Madry.
Well, there's the Madry is the one that is not at all Spanish, yes.
Yeah.
But they've managed to con people into thinking it is. But I still drink it because it's nice.
You do realise it's just repackaged Carling. That's all it is.
Yeah, but for some reason in the glass, it's better. I don't know why. When I'm told, and that's how it worked, the marketing thing. Oh, it's Madry, it's this Spanish beer. Oh, okay. Oh, and this little beaker glass, that's nice. Instead of here's his Carling in his fucking the most basic glass possible, black and white packaging. Nah, it doesn't do it for me. But Madry, yeah, I can get behind that.
Well, what would you say is the worst beer? I'd say it's Beck's.
I'll be honest. It
has to be Beck's.
I'll be honest though, with a lager, if it's cold enough, it's drinkable. I do think that it's really, really cold.
Those?
You can drink anything. I always said I would never want to drink Carlsberg or Carling. Those are the two that I'm like, nah. But recently, well, it wasn't that recently, but I went to my grandma's and the only beer she had was Carling. And it was really cold in the fridge and it was actually quite nice. And at this restaurant in France a couple of summers ago, the only beer they had was Carlsberg. Again, it was really cold and it was quite nice. So I think as long as it's cold enough, it's fine. But obviously, they're low down the order. They're low down the pecking order. I'm not going to choose to drink one of those.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I personally just, you would not catch me drinking any of those. To be fair, I'm not actually a massive beer drinker anymore. I used to quite like, I can have one. I can have a nice one and I'll enjoy it. But then after like one and a half, it just sits in my stomach and it's grim. I hate it. But yeah, it's what it is. Maybe we'll have to make our own beer. Because then we can make a beer that doesn't sit in the stomach because of science.
Science.
Exactly. We'll have to see what happens. But obviously, before we talk about Wednesday, let's talk about Villa. Cup game, Friday night. I saw some positives. Maybe not as... I would maybe clutch at straws, I think it's fair to say. But I didn't think it was a terrible performance. And I think it was actually another step in the right direction. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, it was a very boring game, wasn't it, really? Like, there's not a massive amount to talk about. The one thing I spoke about in my voice note review, which I've, having looked back at some of the moments from that game and kind of thought about some of the games he's had in the past sort of, what, 6 weeks, 2 months since Robert Sanchez's injury, is that I think in Jordi Petrovic we kind of discovered a bit of a hidden gem, a player that we perhaps... There probably were some concerns, actually, when he was in goal, when he had to come in because of Sanchez's injury. We're a bit like, whoa... And he looked pretty commanding in his first game. And actually, he's been a very important part of the reason that we haven't, you know, we've been so good at home. We've conceded so few goals at home recently. We're starting to build that. And I think any team that's going places, this the first building block, the foundation of any successful team is a good home record. And that usually comes with good defence as well. And those things are starting to happen now. So I kind of echo your optimism in terms of that. We've spoken about our lack of goal scoring ability, not being able to finish our dinner. That's been going on for years. Nothing's really changed on that. Obviously, there are some rumours of some potential signings in that regard, whether that be now or in the summer. But yeah, I think Jordi Petrovic is proving that maybe we don't need to go and sign Mainan or whoever else we were previously considering in old sort of transfer windows gone by. And that actually we might have found a little hidden gem, that the Serbian from New England Revolution might actually be our long-term goalkeeper. It's certainly going to be interesting when Sanchez is back fit of who kind of gets that spot.
We'll have to see. Maybe Tom's Nan will be seen in goal. Maybe this is after she had a couple of Carlsbergs or whatever it is that's in her fridge. But you know, you'll never know. We'll find out what it is.
She's a good goalkeeper.
It is. It's brilliant. She's a keeper, isn't it? It's great. Lovely thing to say about your nan.
More of a bridge player, really, but I'm sure she could do a job.
No, but yeah, no, I agree. I do think that the pack, like, I think up to about the 60th, 70th minute, we looked pretty resolute. I think defensively, I didn't really see any issues. Going forward as well, I thought we were pretty good, minus the obvious continued lack of a goal scorer, which is still happening. Fun bit of news that we've seen, obviously, is that Callum Wilson is being linked with a move to Chelsea. I found that a couple of days ago, and I've just been sent a Fabrizio tweet. What does that say? I was just talking about this transfer show because we're getting excited because we're going to be doing transfer content. The Scores are going to be doing something with Simon Phillips, so make sure you guys tune in with that on transfer deadline day. But yeah, no, I think, look, the continued lack of a goal scorer is something which we need to definitely address. So let's see how that goes. But steps in the right direction, looking forward to it. And now we have that absolutely horrendous run, and this is the beginning, a trip to Anfield. But before we do get into the game that's going to be happening on Wednesday night, there's the first thing we need to do is we need to look at the history of the fixture. We need to see all the numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to everyone's favourite segment of everyone's favourite podcast. That's right, it is Stat Shaggers. And this week, there's a little bit more to it than in previous weeks, obviously with Middlesbrough, with Preston, with Villa in the cup we've had recently. They were good, but they weren't quite this. This is not just Chelsea v Liverpool, obviously a fixture that has a lot of bite to it. This is Chelsea-Liverpool. This is also Pochettino v Klopp. And obviously now Klopp leaving, that becomes an even bigger fixture. Firstly, we'll go through the history of the fixture. The two teams, they actually first met on Christmas Day in 1907 at Anfield. Chelsea won that one 4-1 thanks to a George Hilsdon brace. In the 116 and a bit years since that fixture, there's been plenty more history too. The sides have played 195 times. Liverpool very much in the driving seat with those 84 wins. Chelsea 65 wins and 46 draws. Most of those in the last 5 years or so. Since Jurgen Klopp himself came to England, Chelsea have won five times. Most recently March 2021 when Mason Mount scored the only goal in a 1-0 win. And Liverpool have themselves won 9 of those 25 meetings since he arrived. Although, let's not forget, 2 of those were the League Cup and FA Cup finals of 2022 and therefore technically were draws. Well, they were draws in 90 and 120 minutes, but they went on to win them on penalties. Incredibly, that Chelsea win under Thomas Tuchel in March 21 was actually the last time either of the two sides won in 90 minutes. Since then, there have been 2-1-all draws, a 2-2 draw and 4-0-0 draws in the fixture. So if you are a gambler, maybe that is what you should do, Mr. Tony. Obviously, Liverpool did go on to win 2 of those games on penalties as well, as I've said. In the return fixture in the Premier League this year between the two teams, the first game of the season, of course, if you cast your minds back to, I think, the 13th of August, Chelsea came from behind to draw 1-1. Luis Diaz scored for Liverpool for Axel de Sassi. Made an excellent first impression with a debut goal just before half-time. An open game that we actually left thinking we should have won. Maybe that'll happen again. Now, as I've mentioned, these two managers have a bit of history, not least, of course, they played a Champions League final together, Jurgen Klopp beating Pochettino's Spurs 2-0 that day. And they've met actually a total of 12 times. Klopp very much in the ascendancy, 6 wins. Pochettino winning only once and 5 draws between them. Although the actual aggregate score is only 18-13 to Klopp. So not actually as perhaps on Klopp's side as you might think with those 6-1 on wins. Mohamed Salah remains the top scorer between the Klopp and Poch matches, tied with Harry Kane on 5 goals, although, of course, neither of them will be scoring as Kane doesn't play for either side and Salah is injured due to his injury, his hamstring injury at AFCON. Recently, Liverpool, obviously top of the league, and they've hit form again just the right time, even without Mohamed Salah. The likes of Diogo Jota and Darwin Nunez starting to look quite ominous, and Liverpool scoring a lot of goals. They've won their last 3 league matches, safely progressing past Fulham in the League Cup, and now they, of course, will face us then as well in about a month's time. They also eased past both Arsenal and Norwich in the FA Cup in the last month or so. 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League table. Obviously, City do have a game in hand. And now it's up to us to try and give that title back to City and ruin Klopp's last few months at Anfield. Louis, back to you in the studio.
Can I just say that was probably the best delivery of Stat Shaggers you have done so far this season. That was
thank you.
That was very Soccer Saturday. I loved it. I was sat there, I was engrossed, thinking, "Cure blimey, Tom's nailed that." And he absolutely has. Some big, big, big numbers there for you to all think about. And obviously, look at Chelsea to hopefully try and improve Pochettino's record. You know, we'll have to see. I'm not hopeful. As much as there's been a lot of draws, I do think that we might get our pants pulled down at Anfield. I've got a really, really horrible feeling. Just soon as he announced that news, I went, ah, right, okay, we're in trouble here. So emotions will undoubtedly be high anyway as well. But having said all that, obviously make sure you give us a cheeky tweet. Let us know. We've hit 25,000 followers on Twitter this weekend. Finally, you lot have helped us reach that. Fantastic. So we really, really appreciate your support on that. And obviously the support on the amazing tweet, which goes for all the home games. Tom, did you see this tweet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, Tomas, did you know, thanks to the amazing minds behind the Chelsea Echo Twitter account, and this one wasn't me, that actually Chelsea have been unbeaten at home since John Cena posted a picture of Cucurella randomly on the 28th of October, 2023. And we still remain unbeaten. That will have little impact on our game at Anfield this midweek. But pretty good. Pretty good going. Let's hope we can continue that form. And with that form comes an 11. And with that 11 becomes a Chelsea Echo 11. Thomas, let's get into it.
And that is what we thrive in. Transitions, tangents. Why John Cena has posted that picture is one of life's great mysteries. I hope one day we'll find an answer. The police are coming around to try and find that answer, apparently. But yes, Echo 11. If Stats Shaggers isn't your favourite segment, maybe Echo 11 will be. I've given Jordi Petrovic a glowing reference already in this podcast, and I expect and assume he'll be in goal again, because I don't actually know if Robert Sanchez is back yet. I think he's nearing being back, but I don't think he's back yet. So I'm guessing it's going to be our favourite Serb in goal.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Jordi Petrovic, or Jordi Petridish in goal. I'm up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Left back, who are we going? I think we have nearly a fully fit squad in terms of senior players now.
Yep. This is where it gets interesting. Because he's obviously played Chilwell at left back against Middlesbrough. But does he trust him to play left back, the position he actually plays in a game against Liverpool? And I don't know if he does.
I have one issue with that. And it's not just down to him, but obviously against Villa, and Villa aside, which have a lot of threat, we looked amazing defensively. And even going forward, we looked pretty strong when we were playing four centre-backs. And when Ben Chilwell came on, we did lose off holding the game a little bit. That left side became a lot weaker. They definitely targeted it a hell of a lot more. Obviously, because Ben Chilwell isn't fully fit, and they kind of knew that. So, I mean, there's no Mo Salah, but then again, you still got to have Trent or whoever it is going to be going down that right-hand side.
I don't know
side.
Who's playing on the right at the moment, if it's Jota or if he's down the left. Darwin obviously looking quite dangerous, and he kind of floats around as well, goes all over the place. So whoever plays at left-back is going to have to be on it. I expect Trent will be back too. I think he's been in training the last week or so. So, you know, he obviously generally operates down the right-hand side, but gets very far forward, almost acting like a second right mid at some time at points. So I think it's going to be a difficult job for whoever plays there, to be honest, even without Salah. I think, weirdly, even though I don't want Cole to play left-back, I'm not sure if I myself think Chilwell is potentially ready for such a big challenge. And the last thing we want is obviously him getting injured again. So I am tempted to go against everything I've previously said, including one long point about it, and weirdly maybe play Levi Cole at left back.
I actually agree. God, imagine we'd get slaughtered for this. Okay, so Levi Cole at left back. Petrovic in goal.
Yeah.
Gusto, Silva, I do believe, will be available. Yeah, Thiago Silva at centre-half.
That's big. That's very important that Gusto's available. And then, whoever, probably De Sassi, won't it be, as the other centre-back, who recently has been, I've been warming to him a little bit. Again, this is a big test for him, because he's playing against a proper side with proper attackers, proper midfield who get forward. And then obviously, as I said, Trent putting in pinpoint crosses. So he's going to have to be on it, or whoever plays there is going to have to be on it. That is potentially a reason that you do play Cole at left back, at left centre back, and put Chilwell at left back. But then again, the extra height of having three centre-backs is it's difficult.
I did think playing that, basically just relying on those centre-halves, that block of four, Benoit Badiachil looked okay at left-back. I used inverted quotes for that because, you know, he did basically become... It became a back three, which I think showed, again, the strength Chelsea have as a back three team. And, I mean, if that's the case and you've got Gusto going down the right-hand side, yes, it might mean we'll be weaker going forward on the left, but I'd almost prefer that. I'd happily give up an attacking sense down that left flank, knowing full well that we're going to be dealing with Trent coming the other way. And I know people be like, well, surely you'd want to target that right-hand side. So absolutely you'd want to target the right-hand side. But right now, I don't think we have the capability to target all the areas we want. It's kind of a case of, if you've got two, you can go four out of three, I'd do that. So I'd almost forfeit our left-hand side there, right, to make sure that we are solid. I think Kyle will get in the centre-half look solid, but yeah, go on, carry on.
I also think that in targeting, because of how far forward Trent gets, Liverpool basically become a three as well. And I think if you add in, say, a Mudryk, I know he's not been excellent recently, but someone like him with his pace, who's more direct than perhaps a Sterling is, that could cause problems. You know, we've got... the issue is our scoring of the goals. It's not necessarily the creating of them, and it's not getting in behind. We've got players to do that. So I think we can still hurt Liverpool. But yeah, I think back four-wise is actually probably the hardest in a while because I think there are so many dynamics with it. Obviously, the Darwin factor, who is a player that I've always questioned, is he good or is he not? It, probably more than any player I've done in a while. He's literally, you know, I always called him the South American Timo Werner, but I think he's better than Werner. I think there's more to his game than Werner. He's powerful, he's strong, he's very quick. And actually in that game recently, was it Burnley, the one 4-0? Was it Burnley? I think it was Burnley. Anyway, he looked pretty sharp. A couple of good finishes in there. So I'm starting to think, is he starting to get confident with playing a lot more games? He's someone that you're going to have to look out for because he, as I say, he goes all over the place. No one really knows what he's doing. He doesn't even know what he's doing at times, it looks like anyway. So he's a problem. Trent is a problem. What he can do, can't give him too much space. They're just a very good side. There's a reason they're top of the league. And obviously, as we've said, the emotion's going to be there with Klopp. So we're going to have to get that right. Defensively, I don't really know what the right answer is, but I think I'd go with what we've just said there.
Yeah. Okay, so we've gone for a back four. So we've gone, just to note it down again, so you've got this in front of me. Petrovic in goal. Cole Will at left back. De Zassi, Thiago Silva as the two centre-halves. Malo Gusto at right back.
Yeah.
The midfield... Now, I've got a fun stat for us here about Moises Caicedo. This was put out on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account earlier. And if you haven't seen it already and you're not following us, where have you been? Get on it. Moises Caicedo is now registered 100-plus successful ball recoveries, precisely 129, and successful duel battles with 128 for Chelsea this season in all competitions. He's also registered 50 successful tackles and interceptions, 53. So, you know, whatever Jurgen was saying about dodging bullets, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see. So I think it's, you know, he's definitely picked up his form recently. He's looked a lot stronger and I do think he goes onto that team sheet. But the question is, who are the other two?
Yeah, he's had a really good couple of months, Caicedo. We always said when we signed Caicedo that when he's at his best, he's going to be a player that we don't really talk about because he does all the stuff that, you know, we hope we don't really have to see. He win the ball back, give it to someone a bit more exciting that we're then going to talk about, which is what we do. So he's doing exactly what I want him to do. So yeah, him, obviously Enzo plays, and hopefully he can do what he does best, which is sit deeper and kind of try and dictate tempo, find people in behind, as we've said already. The other one is difficult, because this almost feels like a Conor Gallagher game with the energy that he can bring to the team.
It really does.
But then... I really prefer Palmer in the middle. So
okay, put it this way. In this game, and this is your argument for Conor Gallagher every single time we talk about it, are we going to have more of the ball?
Probably not.
There's your answer. I think this is a game where you're going to need somebody who's going to nick in and pick up the ball off of Gravan Birch, pick up the ball off of, you know, whoever's playing that midfield, and just give it, like you said, to somebody more exciting. I think it's, I think the most important thing in this game, and it's not, it's look, it's not sexy, all right? And I know we want to be playing sexier football and be doing well, but I think this game for us mentally is such a massive challenge that it's better to be resolute and get a result than go there, try and play sexy football, let all the Twitter tacticos talk about triangles, but call them inverted, bloody, three-sided paradigms or whatever they're going to call it. And then, you know, just get the result. that's what it is.
I
think it's definitely a Conor Gallagher fixture, a player who can pick balls up. You know, you got to give him his flowers. He's been amazing with ball recoveries in the final third. You know, he's been great at interceptions in the game. You've seen how important he is in all these fixtures, especially against Villa. You know, there's a couple of opportunities where they could have picked up really easily, and, you know, he got the ball and picked it up when they were making their mistakes. He's a player who can still do that, and I think that is definitely what we do. I appreciate what you're saying about Cole Palmer down the middle, but I do also feel that, you know, like you were saying as well, we've just got to make sure that we can get the best out of him. And I don't think going up against Konate and Virgil van Dijk, we're going to see as much as we'd like to. Whereas maybe being able to float about against Robertson or against Trent, we might actually see him pick up the ball a bit more and give us that magic. Is he? I believe he is. If he's not, who's their left back going to be?
Been out for a while. It's been Joe Gomez.
Okay.
The past
even weeks. Better then.
He's been playing even well better. Though.
He's been playing well, but you know, Joe Gomez is the weak point. The fullback's the weak point in this team. So, you know.
Yeah, but that's one other argument for Conor Gallagher is get him in and say just don't let Trent have too much time on the ball.
Yeah.
And just sprint about, press, do your thing, and then if you run out of energy, which you won't. Then we'll bring him off. I think that's how you got to use him, which might sound a bit condescending almost to him because he's played a lot of minutes. He's obviously become an important member. He's become part of that leadership team, but I think that's the best way of using him. So I'm not against having him in the team. The one thing I don't want, if he does play, which he probably will, is I don't want him to then shove Enzo further forward into a position that he doesn't want to play. And I also don't want him to slow down what we do when we do have the ball, because this is the kind of game where actually we can hit them on the counter attack if Trent gets too far forward, etc. That's how we're going to have to play at times. So I have nothing wrong with him playing, but we've got to be clever with it.
Definitely. Okay, well, are we putting him in our 11 then? Is he starting in that midfield?
Is he in your starting team?
He's in my starting team, yeah. That's what I've written down.
Then fine. I'm not against it, so I'll allow it.
Okay, all right then. So midfield three, Conor Gallagher, Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez. Right-hand side, then picks itself, Cole Palmer. Actually, that goes against the argument I just made about saying you can't play him down the middle. I'd play him on the right. I'd play Mudryk on the left, like you were saying. I think it's important to have somebody who can maybe occupy Trent. And as much as he's maybe not delivered the best, look, the problem that Mudryk has is I don't think he's literally been told to just do what he does best. And I think when you look at his debut against Liverpool, and you can say it was against James Milner, which I completely understand, but there was a player playing there with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he took on players that those 15, 20 minutes. And if you said to him, right, be that outlet, because we don't have an outlet right now. If we're looking up, I want Enzo to be able to look up and see Mudryk in space, stretching that defence and just going down the line. If he gets down the line and there's no one in the box, fine. You know, hold on to the ball until everyone comes. If you need to go backwards then, go backwards then. But then you're going to still be in the opposition third. You know, we need to be able to make those targets and make those runs. So, I mean, I'd personally go for Mudryk on the left, Palmer on the right. But then down the middle, who'd you play?
Do you just stick Broya there because he's a big lump and just stand in front of Van Dijk and kick him? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a... Because the other argument is maybe you put someone like Sterling there. I don't know, play him as a false nine. Try and play our game, play on the counter, use his pace against those two. But then I feel like he'll just get marked out of the game. You know, neither Van Dijk or Konate are slow either, so I don't think that the pace is necessarily a thing. We don't really have a good option at number nine, in the sort of the central attacker role, central forward, striker, whatever you want to call it. So I don't think there's a good option. I'd be tempted to just put Broglie there, to be honest.
I do think that is our only option. And then he comes off, and I guess you put Sterling on, and put Cole Palmer as a false nine, as it were, and maybe have him drop deeper in the midfield. Maybe that could be the play. Maybe that could be the case of you almost play him as a tip of a triangle,
and then have Madueke, and you've got two quick wingers.
Yeah,
Palmer dropping, trying to find them. I don't know. It's running the right sort of midfield attack pendulum kind of thing, and how we're going to shape up on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
It's not easy this game because Liverpool are a very good team, but whatever Poch does, we'll have to see. We'll have to back it.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Well, obviously, guys, let us know your 11 on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Obviously, make sure you get involved in all the conversations leading up to the game. But we're going to wrap it up quickly go through a little bit of analysis. And obviously, with Liverpool, another game, another draw. I think based on how we've been talking, Tom, would you be happy with a draw? Because I'm not going to lie, I certainly would be.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk about this game. Obviously, it's Klopp's first Premier League game since the big announcement, the Kop. You know, it's going to be an atmosphere at Anfield, definitely. I was a bit gutted when I saw that. So yeah, I'd definitely be happy with the draw. If we won, amazing. Can we win? Yes. But would I be surprised if we lose? Not really. So yeah, draw would be a good result.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, we've got to see what happens with that. It's a start of a tough run, which I think is why we're so keen to maybe just pick up a point there. Obviously, after that, we've still got City to play this month. We've got the Cup final as well, which I've seen a very interesting question, which we'll get to, which Tom's written down later on. But, you know, let's make sure we can get through this tough run, because then March, it does get easier again. So we'll have to see what happens. Obviously, Jota, Nunez combining well, starting players like that is going to be tough. But obviously, we've answered that question for you in the Echo 11. But look, let's look at this, right? What do we need to do to come away with a result? Do we play ugly? Does this team have the capacity to play ugly, do you think?
Probably not, unfortunately. I think they're still too nice. When Enzo came in, I thought he might have a bit of that South American grunt in him, but he doesn't really do that. He prefers to let his football do the talking, which is fine. But we don't have anyone nasty enough, I think, really, to kind of just... But maybe this will be the game for it. They're going to have to get up for it because the atmosphere is going to be big. Liverpool are going to be right up for it, obviously. You know, Klopp's going to be emotional. We're going to have to get up for it too, otherwise we're going to get badly beaten here. So I'd like to think that, you know, Thiago Silva, Levi Cole gets very passionate in these kind of games. He could do it. But it's all about finding the right balance. And obviously with young players, you do worry sometimes. You tell them out, go and be passionate, kick them, and then they go too far and get sent off. So we need to find the right balance here. But yeah, we've got to deal with it. It's going to be a difficult game anyway. Now with that, it's even harder. But then Liverpool might get over-emotional, try too hard. We then come away with a win. You know, it's a very unique circumstance for these players, for this, you know, fan base who've been terrible for years, and suddenly they've got this manager that they adore. He's been there for 9 years. You know, it's a weird time for them. And it's kind of a time for us where we're starting to be a bit more positive. So maybe it's actually come at the perfect time. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, a win would do wonders for this team. I think it would do wonders for everybody. You know, it would definitely lift a lot of the pressure off of Mauricio Pochettino, which I think is dwindling. But I still know there's a lot of people that still aren't sure. But, you know, he seems to be a bit more at ease, and there seems to be a bit more development, and you know the numbers are adding up, so I'll have to see. But now I will ask that question, which I think is ridiculous, because my answer is that's a stupid question, but you can answer it because you wrote it down. I want to know what the fuck was going through your brain when you wrote it, right? League Cup final is in a month's time, just under a month, right? Playing the same team, and obviously we've got them midweek, top of the league, they're gunning for it. We're looking at that European place, eyeing up sixth at the moment. Pick one. What was going through your head?
Was it? I think there's a question there. Some people don't care about the League Cup. So, you know, would they rather a league win at Anfield? That was what I was thinking. Obviously, to me, and I did word it in the question, potentially a stupid question. And I think it is, but I thought I'd ask it. Sometimes these stupid questions get people talking. obviously, yeah, I'd rather win the one at Wembley because we can't lose three finals in a row to Liverpool at Wembley. But, you know, 3 points as well in the Premier League would be pretty big. So, yeah, I don't think it's maybe quite as obvious as we think. But, yeah, my answer is obviously the League Cup.
I just dread answering questions like that. I just want us to get the results. That's all that matters to me. So
yeah, why don't we go and win both?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Go and win both, boys. But obviously, we'll have to see what happens. Make sure you tune in to Final Score with the Scorer after the game as well. I will not be at this fixture, unfortunately, and I'm not sure Tom will be either. But we will both be giving a short analysis of the game with the Score. You'll see us jump in for 5 minutes, have a chat, so make sure you get involved with that. And obviously, make sure that if you want to say something, please, please, please get involved. You know, the Score's working really hard on that show, and he loves people to call in, even leave comments, like anything that's going through your mind. If you want to talk about it or you just want to note it down in the comments, please do. It's massive for him, and, you know, we're really trying to build that show up. And we appreciate all of you that have tuned in already, helping it grow. Obviously, we'll have our voice note reviews coming out after the game as well. But, guys, this has been a Highway 61 production, part of their network. So make sure you follow all of that stuff as well. Some fantastic shows coming, including another couple of episodes of The Blueprint soon to be released. Obviously, make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo on all socials. Thank you very much for 25,000 followers on Twitter. It does mean a lot to us. We do appreciate it. It shows that people are still engaging with that account after we left it for nearly 2 years to die. But it is coming back slowly but surely. We're working very hard on that. And there are some people behind the scenes, which obviously you don't see, you don't hear, who work very hard. And they're very, very grateful to all of you guys for getting involved. Make sure you engage with the Echo, having said that as well. Like I said, Final Score with the Score. Make sure you engage with us on Twitter. Make sure you engage with our personal accounts as well. Obviously, I'm at @Louis_Beneventi on Twitter and at @LouisBeneventi on Instagram. Tom Morris, where can people find you?
At TomMasters11.
There we go. So make sure you go and follow Tom.
Follow me.
Have you got a few yet? How many have you got?
A few.
Banging.
A few. It's growing.
We're getting there. Slowly but surely. Slowly, slowly.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Chew monkey. Exactly, exactly. Tell your pals. Tell your family. Tell Tom's nan when she gives you a Carlsberg. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been your preview of Liverpool versus Chelsea at Anfield on Wednesday night. Make sure you get involved. And we'll see you later. Ta-da.